My name is Ray Park. You may know me as playing Darth Maul in the Phantom Menace, Clone Wars, and also Solo at Star Wars Story. You're listening to Star Wars Stuff Podcast, The Force is Strong with You All. And remember, Sith Walk.
Hey, this is Dominic Pace, who plays Gecko the Bounty Hunter from The Mandalorian, letting you all know you are listening to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast. Wishing everybody all the best, and may the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you!
12 technical difficulties later, and this is a Star Wars Stuff Podcast.
Where we talk all things Star Wars. My name is Colin.
And I'm Ray.
And we're here to talk about
Star Wars in 8K.
In 8K. We're in 8K. We heard your complaints about the camera being blurry. We're not blurry anymore. Yeah. Let's go. Anyways, we have a decent amount to talk about. We have the entire season finale of Ahsoka to kind of just reminisce about and, you know, kind of be sad about, be excited about the future of Star Wars. And then also the Old Republic remake, is it canceled? We're about to talk about it. Let's start with the Old Republic. Now, I know you're not a gamer.
Nope.
Okay, so that game has got a lot of history, but the remake, the announcement trailer, you know, happened a couple of years ago. Everyone was excited about it. It was going to be on PlayStation 5. Everyone's freaking out. It's great. Things slowly happen behind the scenes that make it just kind of go down. They had the announcement trailer on their social media accounts, including YouTube. They just took it down. Yes, which is sad because that's actually something that I was looking forward to, because of when you remake a game, it's kind of a remaster of the original, but with some different things. And then that was also going to have like a bunch of, to me, it was going to be a better department for the graphics. And that's something that I was really excited, because that game is fantastic, but taking an old game and remastering it is something that I always love. If they would remaster the original Star Wars Battlefront 2, oh man, I would be over the moon. So it sounds like the game is no longer happening with this studio.
Okay, so there's always the potential it could come back through a different studio.
Yes.
So there's hope, a little bit, but
yeah. Something that we've learned, especially within the last couple of years, is that for gaming studios, sometimes they like to announce things early. A fine example is Star Wars Eclipse. That game trailer was fantastic. Everyone was so excited. But then all of a sudden, it was just like, actually, this game isn't coming out until maybe 2026. Actually, 2027. Actually, 2028.
Isn't that kind of what happened to the Lego game?
Yeah. Don't get me started on that. Because
so it's possible.
Yeah.
It might just be a really long time.
Well, the thing that was happening with the Lego game was that COVID kept pushing it back, because we were actually supposed to get the game on May 4th in 2020. We were supposed to get it in April, and then it got pushed back and it got pushed back, and then we didn't get it until 2022. I was not happy.
Yeah, no, I'm well aware.
That Old Republic remake is still in the works. Hopefully it goes to a new studio, but right now it sounds like they're think of another way to kind of bring it back to life, because they've had so much happen behind the scenes and all that stuff.
Now, was the trailer that was posted only through the studio's accounts? Or did Star Wars / Disney Lucasfilm post something on their end as well that's been taken down?
I believe that's also been taken down.
Okay.
Well. Yeah.
So then my guess is it's something not on the game studio side, but the Star Wars side.
Maybe.
Like, they might have pulled out of that studio and are going to a different studio, potentially. Okay. In that case, you'd want a new trailer because the game would change.
Yeah.
Maybe. I'm wondering also if it could be connected to the potential gamer strike.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if maybe the company that they were working with is considering striking, and so they're like, we're going to go with a company that's not sort of a thing. I don't really know how the potential of the gamer strike really works out. That's not something I know a whole lot about. Shrug emoji.
Don't know. All right, let's talk about Ahsoka. We just got the last episode 2 days ago. How do we feel about it?
I'm really sad that there was not as much Baylan and Shin. I wish they had a little bit more of a wrap up.
When Brooke and I were watching it, at the end, I looked over to her and I was like, we didn't get any Baylan or Shin in this. And then all of a sudden, you see Shin on her rat dog horse.
Do those things have a name?
Yes, they are called howlers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So rat dog horse.
I was anticipating the kind of end that Shin was going to have because she's so conflicted.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it kind of makes sense that she's like, you know what? I'm just going to lead these people. So some people said that she was holding up her lightsaber to kind of fend off, like to say, hey, I'm not a threat. But to me, it was, I am now your leader.
It could also be a bit of both.
But the main thing that people are talking about, which again, we got Force Ghost Anakin. That was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Loved it. We had Baylan and this awesome moment of where he's got a super cool cloak.
Yeah. Where did that come from?
I don't know because I don't remember him wearing it, but that's got fur in the back of it. And that just screamed Game of Thrones and Lord of the Rings, especially that view that he had on the statue because the way that he was looking out in the distance, it looked like he was looking at Mount Doom. And I was like, well, oh, okay.
The way his face was angled mirrored the statue behind him. And I just kept like looking back and forth, like, is there supposed to be some like symbolism or like similarity here?
Yeah.
But yeah, I noticed the cloak right away because it has color. And I mean, Shin has a little bit. She has some gray in there. But Baylan doesn't have any color in his outfit.
No.
It's all shades of black and gray. And so that cloak stood out to me right away because it was a pop of color. And one must always have a hint of color.
Someone said that Baylan clearly skinned a howler.
I'm not going to say you're wrong.
That's kind of sad.
But I mean, honestly, where else would he get one such
right,
short notice?
Right,
because it
yeah.
didn't come with him.
Yeah, so wow. But the big reveal was that the statue that he was standing on was the father. And then there was a statue right next to the father, which is the son. Now,
isn't that Clone Wars?
Yes.
That really confusing, like, borderline meta episode?
So Ahsoka, Obi-Wan, and Anakin went to Mortis, and that's known as the Mortis arc, and it gets all types of confusing because the father is the one that actually keeps balance of the Force. But at the end of it, spoilers if you haven't read it, I mean not read it, watched it, honestly I would watch that episode, and then you actually get more into a tiny bit of that in Rebels in the last season. Basically, after the daughter gets killed by the son, the son really wants to escape and just wreak havoc on the galaxy. And then the father stabs himself. And then the son is mourning him. And then Anakin comes up and stabs the son in the back. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, they're dead. And now the Force is unbalanced because the dark side has prevailed. And then that's like a hint at that's why the Empire rises to power. Order 66 happens and all that stuff. It all leads back to that moment. And that's also hinted at because Ahsoka sees the daughter in her spirit animal form, which is Morai. And then after that, you see Baylan standing on this statue. He looks majestic. And then the camera pans out and you see that he's standing on the hand of the father, and then you see the son, and then you see the daughter's statue, but it's shattered, it's broken, which is a hint at she's actually dead, but the father and the son could still be alive.
Okay, well, now you got me thinking. If the death of the father and son caused unbalance in the Force, then is Anakin really the chosen one? Because he's supposed to bring balance to the Force, not cause the unbalance of the Force.
Well, at the end of Return of the Jedi, Anakin redeems himself by throwing the Emperor off into the chasm, and you know, he dies, and then the second Death Star blows up and all that stuff. But now you have to think about, we go to the sequels, we get all the way to episode 9.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Emperor's alive. So what the sequels did is they kind of tarnished of what the Chosen One was, what Anakin did.
Well, there's also, so the Chosen One is kind of seems like a mythological being that nobody quite knows if it's a real thing or not. And so everyone just assumes that it's Anakin. And I'm wondering if maybe it's just not.
Of not what?
That Anakin's maybe just not the Chosen One.
It, well,
he just happens to be like super strong.
So that was also, that's an excellent point, because in Star Wars Rebels, and I see a question, and don't worry, I will get to that question. But the, in Star Wars Rebels, when Darth Maul and Ben Kenobi fight, when Darth Maul is dying, he does ask Obi-Wan, is he the Chosen One? And then Obi-Wan says, yes, he is. And then Maul is like, he will avenge us. And then and then Maul passes away. But now, they hinted at that being Luke Skywalker.
Okay. Because what,
it's all confusing.
What evidence, or I guess proof, does Obi-Wan have to like,
yeah,
solidify the fact that Anakin is the Chosen One? There's nobody coming down from the heavens and pointing at Anakin saying that one right there. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how you tell when it's not very specific. Because Qui-Gon doesn't really, he's like, I think this one's the Chosen One. And the rest of the Jedi Council are like, maybe not.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
true.
And he just puts his hands on his hips. He's like, he is, though. He is.
Yeah.
And then Obi-Wan's just like, I guess he is. Okay. This is a lot on my plate.
Right. And they do question that in episode 3 of when Yoda is on his way to Kashyyyk. And even Yoda says, wrong the prophecy could be. One of our listeners says, okay, but will an audience who only watched live action stuff like my 68-year-old mother will understand this? It is a lot. It definitely is a lot. It's changed a lot. And there is a lot of tie-ins to Clone Wars and Rebels. The ending of this season is a fine example why it was important to watch Clone Wars and Rebels. Even though they were advertising, oh, you don't have to watch those shows to understand this. And it's like, you well, kind
of
do.
I think the thing with Baylan standing on the hand of the father, that's more of like an Easter egg kind of a thing. You don't have to know who that statue is to understand what's happening in the series.
True, but the world between worlds is tied to that. And we first saw that in Star Wars. I mean, because I remember when that episode came out and a lot of people had questions like, oh, hey, we've got this time traveling vision thing where she's a kid now and you've got this blue, like kind of skywalking thing, or what, no pun intended, but going on with that. And my answer was, watch Star Wars Rebels season 4 and you'll understand. Just watch Star Wars Rebels and you'll understand what that is.
Oh, see, I don't know anything about the world between worlds and I understood what was happening.
Okay.
It was like, oh, she's kind of hanging on the verge of death.
Right.
And she's seeing visions.
So what you're saying is true from a certain point of view, because
that is your favorite phrase.
it's one of them.
It's all up to interpretation.
Yes. And the thing about the world between the world between worlds is the fact that it's kind of a time traveling portal realm. So you walk through, you see different portals. That's how Ahsoka is alive, because Ezra was walking by one and he saw that Darth Vader was about to kill Ahsoka. So right before Vader was about to kill her, Ezra pulls her out of that timeline and saves her life. Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. Time travel getting messy.
Yes. So when we saw that in Ahsoka, I was like, okay, how does she get here? But then to me, it was like, oh, she's in purgatory. She's on the verge of death. She's trying to, and the only way to bring her back is to let, to kind of do what Kylo Ren said, to let the past die and just kind of move forward and accept what happened and not let it, you know, kind of control your actions, but let it build you as a person and help you move forward. And I think that's what she did. And that's why after that, I feel like most of the audience was like, that's Ahsoka. She's acting like how she acted in Rebels, how she acted in Clone Wars. She is more snippy than normal. And it's because she let that guilt of her feeling responsible, what happened to Anakin, go. James Herrera, he sounds like an all right guy. He says, but Anakin did tell Rey to bring balance back to the Force like he did. Yes.
But I don't think he brought balance.
That was the, okay. That was the original idea from George Lucas. George Lucas, he wanted to go back to episode 1, 2, and 3, show you the story of why, of who Anakin was before he became Darth Vader. But in Return of the Jedi, his original thing, and he has stated this, that the whole point of it was that Darth Vader turned back to Anakin when he saw his son was about to die. He lifts up Sheev Palpatine and throws him into the chasm and dies. That was him bringing balance back to the Force. Episodes 7, 8, and 9 were never, ever part of that original thing. The original script for 7, 8, and 9 that he actually pitched to Disney was Darth Maul was going to be the main villain. He came back, and he was alive during that time period.
Would that be his third time returning, or second time returning from death?
Well, the whole thing that happened in Star Wars Rebels then was not part of the plan that George Lucas had. That was not even
fair,
you know, there. So when the people at Disney were like, we'll read over your script, but we're not actually gonna, you know, do anything about it, that whole like plan twisted, and then we got Force Awakens, Last Jedi, and Rise of Skywalker. None of that was part of the original idea that George Lucas had. He had the whole outline, but the original script, Palpatine wasn't supposed to die until episode 9. So as far as I know, Palpatine, because I did read that script, Palpatine actually didn't come back to life at all. He was just a hologram that Kylo, wait, are you talking about the script for Duel of Fates that Disney made, or are you talking about actual thing that George Lucas came up with? Sorry, I'm getting all my timelines confused. Or the original idea. I don't know, James. Going back to what another listener said, the problem with all these shows is that they open holes for the already established universe, and the poor fans have to flex their hard drives to justify all the issues by using headcanon.
Well, I feel like that's kind of going to happen if you add on to anything. Marvel's doing the same thing. They keep expanding the universe, and sometimes different, like,
yeah,
inconsistencies pop up. And I feel like that's just the nature of the beast. Yeah. Unless you have a giant brain who knows every single fact, Dave Filoni, you're going to have these inconsistencies that pop up here and there. And I think that's just, error is in human nature. And so at a certain point, we just have to suspend our disbelief and roll with it. Because nothing can ever be perfect.
No.
Nobody's going to see it the same way. And like, there's people who say like, the sequels aren't my Star Wars. And it's like, well, wasn't really made for you.
Yeah.
It's made for the next generation of fans.
That's 100% true.
It's constantly changing and expanding.
Some people want Star Wars to specifically speak to them and just be for them. And not every project is going to be specifically for everyone. Not everyone is a fan of Star Wars Rebels. Not everyone is a fan of the Clone Wars. Not everyone was a fan of the prequels.
Very much so.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's
considering two of the actors went out of the business.
Yeah. Yeah. So no, It's great that you love Star Wars, but not every project is going to be for you, and you're sometimes you have to accept that. For example, there is the show Star Wars Resistance. I think it's great, but it's not, you know, 100% for me. It did have some involvement by Dave Filoni, but it didn't feel like the other projects. So I was like, oh, okay, you know, I'll still watch it, but it's not my 100% thing. And then people are, you know, upset that they didn't like it. And I'm just like, not every project is for you.
Yeah.
And you just got to accept that. Just the small things that happened in this last episode of Ahsoka was the fact that it's a small Easter egg, a small cameo, but that says a lot. That says a lot about Baylan's journey and what he's trying to do. So I don't know. I think there's a lot that I'm excited for, but I'm also sad because Ray Stevenson is no longer with us.
Yeah.
You know, as much as I want his character to continue, I really don't like that people are already kind of recasting.
He did such a good job in that role. I think the only way I would want to see that character come back would be in a book or an animated.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'd want to see another actor try and replicate that. I mean, you'd have to find somebody like perfect.
Yeah.
And I think Ray Stevenson was that. And I don't know that you can top it.
I agree. I just don't like the whole fan recasting thing right away. I mean, people didn't wait. And I was just like, guys, you need to give this show a second to breathe. Mm-hmm. This is a big one. One of our listeners says, so all Star Wars content in the future is not for Star Wars fans. I don't know if that bodes well. People don't want to settle for mid. I agree with you on Marvel. The difference is there's only six stories. Beyond that, I respect, and we'll have a decision whether to like it or not. Personally, I didn't like all three films, all of the sequels, but I love the Mandalorian season. Yeah, so you are agreeing with what we're saying because not every Star Wars show or movie is going to be everyone's favorite. That's what we were trying to say. Because I still love Star Wars. Are the sequels my favorite thing in the world? No, but I still like it, and that's totally okay. It's okay not to like something, but to take it out on other people for not liking something that you like is, to me, is wrong.
Not saying this commenter is doing that by any means.
No.
Just hypothetically speaking.
Yeah. So it's just like, it's okay that you don't like something that someone else loves. That's 100% fine. Because again, Star Wars is for everyone, but not every project is going to be everyone's favorite.
Because if I'm being honest, I didn't like great chunks of the Clone Wars. Like, it was good.
Yeah.
But like, there were whole arcs in there that I'm like, it feels like a snooze fest to me.
Oh, see, I disagree with you, but I'm not going to be mad about
it. But that's okay.
Because you're entitled to your own opinion, and that's
exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of our other listeners says, going back to the Rebels episode, Obi-Wan could very well have been referring to as Luke as the Chosen One. Yes. At that point in time, though, Anakin was truly dead after facing Vader in the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. You're absolutely right. But at that moment, Obi-Wan wasn't even made yet.
Right.
All these other shows weren't even made yet. The only other Star Wars shows that existed were the Clone Wars and Rebels. That was it.
I think that kind of contributes to why more people don't like some of the new stuff, is it changes perspectives on the old stuff. That, for example, when Obi-Wan said he is the Chosen One, he could have been talking about Luke, he could have been talking about Anakin.
Yeah.
Now that we have the Obi-Wan show, it makes it look more like he was talking about Luke.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like adding in different flavors to the old content. And I think that upsets some people.
Yeah.
Because some people have more of a purist kind of view. Like once this story has been laid out, we're not going to change it. Like this is my Star Wars and we're not going to change it.
Oh.
Which I mean is fair, but if you hold that belief too firmly, I think you're severely limiting the future creativity I mean, you can always build on newer sections of the galaxy, kind of like we're seeing coming up. I don't know. Some people like to revisit their old characters. And I feel like if you're going to go make an Obi-Wan series, it might have an impact on some of the other canon things that already exist. Because we're getting more information. And more information will change your perspective.
It's a very interesting kind of time. Because we are diving into characters that have been established for a bit. And then we're also creating, they are creating new ones that kind of tie into it. For the life of me, after episode one, I never thought I was going to see Darth Maul on the screen again. And here we are. He just keeps popping up in different projects, kind of throughout the different things in the timeline.
This just leads back to our last week's conversation about when you fall, you don't necessarily die.
Right. Well...
I'm not saying Captain Phasma is alive. Okay. I'm just saying if you fall, you don't necessarily die.
Right.
I think in Star Wars, if you don't see the body, there's always a chance. However small.
Of what you're saying is true. From a certain point of view.
You can't say I'm wrong. So.
yeah. Overall, what did you think of the series?
I liked it. Even though I didn't have like full context into like the backstories of Sabine and Ezra, I was able to pick up on enough because they gave me enough context clues that it was very easy to understand how important this was and what a big deal it was and how these characters are so like close to each other. It makes me definitely want to go watch Rebels even more.
Yeah.
But I think it did, because we had talked before the show came out that we weren't sure how spoon-fed the information would be for people who hadn't seen Rebels. And I feel like they had a really good balance of giving you just enough information for you to understand what these characters mean to each other without rehashing all of it.
Yeah.
So I thought it was really good. I also really liked it. The visuals were good. I mean, the costumes were amazing. Don't even get me started on those Clone Wars flashbacks. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
No. It was so good.
There are so many new references to Anakin, like just picture-wise, where I'm excited because I dress up as Anakin. So I was like, let's go. Because we actually got like real clear shots of what his hair like really, really looks like and his scar and everything. And then his Clone Wars outfit was fantastic. And I'm doing that one too, but I'm not getting a wig. I'm just growing my hair out. So I'm not getting a haircut until maybe next year. So
wow. Commitment.
So get ready for long haired Colin. It's going to be very interesting. But yeah, no, I thought the finale was great. Having Anakin come back as a Force ghost in the end, I thought that was great. I love how I didn't say anything.
Do you think Ahsoka saw him? Because she doesn't really make eye contact at all. Because she just kind of like looks out, and when the camera cuts to her point of view of the horizon, we don't see him. We don't see him until she turns her back. So I'm curious if she saw him. Or maybe, I think she felt his presence, but I don't think she saw him.
I agree with that assessment. I think that she sensed it, and Sabine, weirdly enough, sensed it. That threw me off. I was not expecting her to be like, well, I thought I saw...
Well, she's Force sensitive.
Well, yeah, but then it's just like, then why didn't Leia sense the Force ghost at the end of Return of the Jedi? It's, which, that's a whole other thing. And a lot of people know how I feel about Sabine being a Jedi.
Was Leia training at that point, though?
No. But she was still Force sensitive. She is strong as Luke. I mean, well, okay, that's a whole other debate. But she has the same Force capabilities as Luke. So
yes, but Luke did a lot of training to hone that.
Yeah.
Whereas Leia didn't necessarily. So two people can have drawing talent, but if one person studies their whole life to be an artist,
that's true.
They're going to advance their skills more so than somebody who doesn't.
That's fair.
But they can still both be natural talents.
Yeah. And the whole thing about Sabine for me is I don't have any problem with her. being a Jedi. It's just her whole story in Rebels was Mandalorian heritage and kind of accepting who she was. And then at the end of it, she was, you know, actually fighting side by side with her people and all that. And I understand that her whole family died during the second Battle of Mandalore and all that stuff. But her whole journey was accepting who her heritage was and her becoming a real Mandalorian. And there's even a line in this finale of Hu Yang saying Ahsoka was afraid of the reasons why Sabine was trying to be a Jedi. And that's why Ahsoka left Sabine, essentially, was because Ahsoka was afraid that she was becoming Jedi for the wrong reasons. And the reason was to be like Ezra and all that stuff. It wasn't to be a Jedi to be a Jedi. It was, I'm going to do this because of Ezra. And her mind wasn't 100% in it. And that was very clear. So to me, I thought her journey in this was her going, really accepting who she really was, which is a Mandalorian. I have no problem with her being a Jedi. Well, to me, this kind of contradicted her entire journey in Rebels.
I almost wonder if Sabine isn't going to really see herself as a Jedi necessarily, but also, like Ahsoka said, there's more to being a Jedi than a lightsaber.
Yeah.
So that would imply taking on more of the lifestyle
yeah.
of a Jedi. I don't know. From what little I know of Sabine, I think she would be able to find a good balance between her Mandalorian heritage and learning the ways of the Jedi.
That would make more sense. I just, to me, Sabine just doesn't scream Jedi is my thing. Just because I don't think she would really agree with most of the Jedi ways.
Well, Jedi doesn't really exist at that point, do they?
I mean,
because they kind of all died.
How about Luke?
Well, I mean, they kind of all died. Not all of them, but like almost all of them.
I think when Luke does bring back the order and we see him actually teach students and everything, I think he's going to do his best to try and fix of what was wrong with the Jedi Order, which was that they did not want you to have any attachments or any of that stuff. And it was a very strict life. But because of that, that kind of drew Anakin to the dark side because he was so restricted on what he could do in his personal life. And he wanted to do the right thing. He wanted to be a Jedi. He wanted to save the galaxy. But he also, you know, has these feelings. The difference between humans and droids is that, you know, humans, you know, have to act on these feelings and they can't just kind of, you know, sit on them. The thing with Anakin was, you know, he had a strong love for Padme and he couldn't just shut those feelings off. That's not how feelings work. So that was the issue to me with the Jedi Order.
I don't even think that's all of it for Anakin. I think Anakin had more. I don't think it was specifically Padme. I think Anakin had a strong need for family, period. Padme just happened to be a huge part of said family. But I think Anakin just wanted a family, which is the whole theme throughout all of Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
It's the whole thing is just found family. That's all it is. You boil everything in Star Wars down, it's found family. Which is one of my favorite tropes. It never gets old.
No. I mean, you've got that in Bad Batch. You've got that in The Mandalorian. You've got that in the Book of Boba Fett. You're absolutely right. Like, it just keeps coming back, but in different ways.
Yeah. And I think the found family aspect is probably clearest in the sequel trilogy.
Yeah.
Because, especially through Finn and Rey, because Finn was a stormtrooper. He was taken from his family and he finds a new family in the Resistance. Rey lost her parents and gets a new family in the Resistance. Quite literally, as Leia passes on the Skywalker legacy to her and she gives Poe the Organa legacy and Ben the Solo legacy. It's all about found family, man.
uh, Sabine's comment for Anakin's Force Ghost as the title of a new Star Wars book that was just released. I haven't read it yet. And I...
Wait, what was the comment that's a new title?
Looking off in the distance, kind of sensing the Force Ghost of Anakin, of where she's like, I thought I sensed something or saw something. I didn't know if that was the title. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, I don't know how that's a title. I'm so confused.
Yeah. But overall, I thought the show was great. Big cliffhanger. Thrawn got back. I expected Thrawn to get back. I didn't have any doubt about that. What was sad was that Ahsoka and Sabine got left behind. But for me, Thrawn getting back was... I had no doubt about that. Because the whole point of this show was, you know, Ahsoka's journey and everything. But also it was to get ready for the return of Thrawn. That was also hinted at in The Mandalorian Season 3 of Thrawn's return. So the fact that we got it, I was not surprised at all. So I'm super pumped to see that he's back and see what kind of havoc that he will wreak across the galaxy.
And then you just wonder, like, how fast his takedown is, because he's got to be out of any power he would get. He'd have to be gone before the sequels start.
Right.
So I'm curious what that arc will be.
Well, there's a small hint at what's to come. This character is from Legends, and it actually ties into the father and the son, right? There's the daughter. Who's the mother? The mother essentially is a force being called the Haveloth, and basically it is one of the most powerful force beings in the galaxy, and it's very dark side oriented. If that character comes into play, that's going to change a lot of the way that we look at the Sith and the dark side and all that stuff.
So this unknown mother is just like superior dark side energy.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah. I will read the description for those who don't know.
That would be me.
Haveloth.
Oh, I think we got an answer on the title. Star Wars, The High Republic, Shadows of Starlight is the new book. Shadows of Starlight was Sabine's comment. Oh, yes. Shadows in the Starlight.
Oh,
is what she had said.
Okay.
I remember that now. Thank you.
All right. Haveloth is a self-styled as the beloved queen of the stars and also known as the bringer of chaos, and was an extremely powerful force user.
I love anything that's going to bring chaos. Chaos is my middle name.
If she's on the planet of Prydia, where Baylan and all of them are, and Baylan, you know, somehow releases her into the galaxy to wreak havoc, she's going to rival Thrawn, and that's going to be a whole other thing of chaos.
Be really interesting to see.
I'm excited.
Because we don't have... Pop culture's track with female villains is very weird. We don't have a lot of, like, long-lasting female villains. Like, in Marvel, we had, like, Hela. Right?
Yeah.
She was there for one movie. All of your overarching villains, like a Darth Vader or a Loki or a Thanos or Darth Maul, they're all male. So I'm curious to see if we get that and how they'll approach it.
I mean, again, this all leads up to the sequels, so.
Yeah. So she's going to have to go away real fast. Well, like, it's not real fast because we could get a lot of content out of it.
Yeah.
But like, timeline-wise, section of the timeline is relatively short.
Yeah.
Because there's an end date.
It's going to be a very interesting couple of years, because they also haven't even greenlit officially a second season of Ahsoka.
I really want it, and Ashley Eckstein is crossing her fingers for a season 2 cameo. So,
well, I mean, yeah.
She's got it. I'm surprised that they didn't sneak her in the first one.
I know. And I was waiting for it, and we didn't get anything. And I really, really hope that she gets some type of involvement soon in the live action stuff, because if it wasn't for her... Yes, Dave Filoni did create the character, but Ashley Eckstein was the one that brought her to life.
Yes.
So I want her to have some type of involvement,
because
she is a great actress, but she's also a wonderful human being, and I've been very lucky to meet her a couple of times. So I'm just, I really, really want her to be involved going forward in the, at least season two, or maybe the Dave Filoni movie.
Involved somehow.
Somehow. In some way.
Just get her in there.
Speaking of the Dave Filoni movie, there's a lot on the horizon. With the strikes being over, we have a couple of the new shows that did get pushed back. Most likely they're all coming out next year, which means we're probably getting five big projects next year. Skeleton Crew, Star Wars Outlaws, Acolyte, Andor Season 2, and Tales of the Jedi Season 2. Andor Season 2, Tales of the Jedi Season 2, and Bad Batch Season 3.
Well, the writers' strike has ended. Yes. The actors are still right. Going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That is what I was talking about.
So we might not get new content because you have the writers, but you don't have the people playing the characters.
Yeah.
So
we'll wait.
Yeah, just looking it up right now, SAG-AFTRA negotiations are going to continue on Friday. Friday and next week. Looks like they're still going, so who's to say how long it'll be?
I hope something gets solved soon, because the trailer for Acolyte that we... I mean, again, all the shows coming out, I'm excited for it. But Acolyte, to me, is something I'm very, very excited for, just because the fact that we're in a time period has nothing to do really with Skywalkers. It is taking place during the High Republic. It's going to show the fall of the High Republic and go into the prequel era and kind of show you like of what happened to make the Senate and the Jedi Order to be the way that they are during that time period. Because there's a lot of lightsabers, there's a lot of deception, there's a lot of new lore towards the Force, and I'm very, very excited for it. We are getting a Wookiee Jedi in live action on screen.
Nice.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm excited as like a costumer, seeing some of the art of like the High Republic era.
No,
it's similar but so different too. It's very bright, light, and clean. And so I'm very curious to see how they translate it to film. I just need new content, man. Not that I have the time to watch it.
Right. Oh, man. Yeah. And then we're getting Andor season two, which we know that's the final season because it will lead into Rogue One, which means that we'll probably see Cassian meet up with K2SO, and which is great. I love that.
I love K2.
I'm definitely expecting some type of Rebels cameos in that show, and I know that the first season kind of strayed away from that, but at this point they'll be overlapping. They will be 100% overlapping to where they really won't have a choice to, you know, avoid it. So we'll probably see Hera, we'll probably see you know, Chopper in some very mature tone, because that's what Andor was. Have you seen Andor?
I saw the first episode.
Okay. It honestly feels like a HBO Max show, Disney Plus.
I'm going to be honest, however far I did watch it, didn't really hook me.
I felt like that in the first three episodes.
Okay. So just keep going.
Yeah. Because of it was very slow, and it was definitely a new look on Star Wars.
It's just very different.
It was a new take.
Yeah.
I love Andor. I actually just got my Narkina 5 prison suit from Andor approved for the 501st.
Nice.
So, yep. So I am going to submit that over to the Rebel Legion here shortly, and that will be my first Rebel Legion costume approved. So,
yay! One of us!
Yes. So I am very excited. So I love that show.
Well, I mean, hey, I am really, really, really tempted by a Shin. And that would be my first dark side costume. Do it.
That would be... I've already seen some people have made some foam builds and everything of that already.
People are drafting up like the 3D models for 3D printing and drafting up sewing patterns and everything. I'm waiting until there's more resources.
Yeah.
Because I am not emotionally or mentally equipped enough to go through a second build with no resources. Yeah. Doing Sabe's battle decoy with absolutely no resources available to me the first time was
rough.
Yeah. I think the only reason I got through that project was because it was a quarantine project.
Right.
It took 14 months. And that's not including research. That's 14 months of building.
Wow. Someone from Mar Garrison, which I am going to give him a shout out because I really want him to do Baneland, would be, he's probably one of the best people that does Cobb Vanth. Don Kuhn.
Yeah.
Don Kuhn would be a great Baneland.
Let's go.
That would be dope. I would be so excited for him because every time that he puts in Cobb Vanth, I'm just like, oh my God.
It's perfect.
Yeah, no, he slayed that. That looks fantastic.
I'm not going to apologize for drifting this over into costume talk because no. That is my nature.
Yep. And if you want more costume content, go and check out our TikTok. Ray and I are running that. We're having a blast with that. We're back. We were gone for a bit, but we are definitely posting more content on that.
It's going to be a little crazy because I was given control. You give me a mic and a camera and things will get chaotic.
Hey, now you're not fully in control. I'm there too. I am.
Until I change the password.
Don't.
No, but I am cutting out like best clips from our episodes.
Yeah.
I am doing, there's going to be like little commentaries in a way.
Yeah.
I am going to be making memes. I have... So
many plans.
Little known fact about me. In 2016, I started a Tumblr.
Okay.
And I still maintain it to this day.
Really?
It is a classic literature crack meme blog. I read and watched Jane Eyre, and I was like, there's got to be memes about this. And there were none. There was not a single Jane Eyre meme on Tumblr. So I started making them. So I have been making memes since 2016.
Yeah.
And I've gotten very, not to brag, I've gotten very popular. And I'm taking those skills and putting them into Star Wars now. And it's going to get fun. I'm excited.
I'm excited. I'm excited to see how that turns out. We just had one of our listeners asking, how much do we stream on Twitch? Honestly, I'm not going to lie. We haven't done it in a bit, but I re-downloaded the original Star Wars Battlefront 2 and some of the original Star Wars games. So like Force Unleashed and all those other ones. And what's great is that on PlayStation, you can't really put Twitch to those games, but you can on Xbox. So I'll probably going to do a Galactic Conquest campaign and just live stream that on Twitch and then just, you know, talk about Star Wars the entire time. I'll probably find some friends that are interested in doing that, and then we'll just talk about Star Wars for a couple hours and just take over the galaxy.
What, like it's hard?
I used to do that all. I used to play that game all the time as a kid, so I haven't done it. I haven't played that game in a bit. someone was comparing you to Liam Neeson from Taken.
I have a very particular set of skills.
Yeah.
This is true.
There you go.
Talk about your truth universally acknowledged. Am I right?
So out of all the new Star Wars projects, which one are you most excited for?
I'm most excited for the one that's set like way, way back. I can never remember the name.
Oh, the Dawn of the Jedi project.
Yes.
With James Mangold.
Yes. I am excited for that one.
I'm very excited for that.
Because like I had said, I think it was a couple weeks ago, I mentioned that I'm really intrigued by what the characters that we know and love, the stories they grew up with.
Yeah.
Because like Rey thought the Jedi were a myth. They were stories she was raised on. And so I'm curious what our favorite heroes from like the prequels and original trilogy, what stories they were raised on. Because we've kind of seen the stories that the sequels were raised on because they were raised on stories of the prequels and original trilogy. But what happened before that?
Yeah.
What are their myths, legends, stories? And also, being so far back, we might get more information on the Chosen One and that prophecy.
Yes.
And then at that point, we may actually be able to definitively figure out who the Chosen One was.
Right. And I think that might actually have a tie-in with the father, the son, and the daughter, and all that stuff. Now, I'm not sure if you heard about this, but a lot of rumors, well, actually, it is pretty much true, just without like certain context. But Matt Smith actually was supposed to play the son,
I remember hearing that.
Yeah.
And he was going to shave. And I got so sad because he has amazing hair.
Having Matt Smith in Star Wars is pretty great. I mean, we've already got one doctor. Why not add a second one?
You can never have too many doctors.
Yeah. And I know some people would be like, well, at that point, why don't you just get Sam Witwer to just do the son in live action? Because he voiced him in the Clone Wars. But I think having that kind of lore added to the Dawn of the Jedi, of where they're like, you know, here's the father, here's the son, here's the daughter, here is Haboloth and all that stuff. And then maybe it takes place on Rydia. And, you know, we actually kind of understand of where the Night Sisters came from. And maybe that planet is like the real birth of the Force and all that stuff. And then they traveled to a different galaxy and then they kind of pass that on, because you have to think this is 26,000 years before the events of anything really going on.
Yeah, I think that's a really good place for us to learn about the Chosen One prophecy.
Yeah, of having that happen in a different galaxy. Let's go explore that. It'd be sick.
Yeah, my little headcanon idea is that if Anakin is not the Chosen One, that it was
Max Rebo,
the dyad between Rey and Kylo. Because they're a dyad, so they're two parts of one thing. And Rey was like the light side and Kylo was the dark side. And then at the end, they kind of come together. And like when he dies, you don't see a Force ghost, because I think they become the two parts of a whole, became whole again in a way. And so I think those two parts coming back together was bringing the balance. That makes sense?
No, it does.
So that's why I think if it's not Anakin, I think the dyad would be a really good option for the Chosen One, just based on the bringing balance aspect.
I understand what you're saying. I don't know how I like that though, because the vision that George Lucas had was that Anakin was the Chosen One, and then Luke had to bring the Chosen One back out of the darkness in order for him to fulfill his destiny.
I see that. Yeah.
So what happened in the sequels was, to me, that kind of tarnished Anakin's journey of him redeeming himself and bringing balance back to the Force by taking the evil out of it. Now, there were stories and legends and stuff like that where the dark side came back, but not as powerful as the Emperor. So the Emperor coming back in episode 9, to me, was, I love the actor, I love the character, it's great, but you're tarnishing what Anakin did and what Luke did in Return of the Jedi. You're going backwards. To me, things that happen in the sequels, kind of, you were changing things that have been established for over 40 years.
I don't think it really tarnishes it, because Anakin Vader did not make a change for the galaxy. He got rid of Palpatine to save his son. He wasn't doing that for the galaxy.
Oh,
none of that mattered at that point.
Yeah, right. But in the end, the result was still the same. He like still did bring balance back to the Force by taking the Emperor out, even though it wasn't for the galaxy.
But he also doesn't have a legacy of that. Like, there is no legacy of Vader turned and brought balance. It's like in Ahsoka, Ezra even asks.
Yeah.
And Sabine says that's what they say. So like nobody really knows.
I think that line was okay. I think that line specifically was kind of a jab at the sequels, of where Poe was like, somehow Palpatine returned.
Fair. Yeah.
Because of they explained how he came back in the comic book series. And that's it. That's all we got. And that created a bigger plot hole, because Vader knew.
Yeah, but okay, if you're and on he your was a Force bed.
Ghost, he was a Force ghost. He saw Luke a couple of times. He's probably going to talk to Ahsoka.
Fair, yeah.
So it's just like that created a plot hole.
Maybe he just forgot.
So you're telling me a Sabe storyline that involved Vader. You really think that Vader would forget that? Because Sabe was tied in into that comic book.
Yeah, but she didn't have anything to do with the part of Exegol.
You're right. But right before that, Vader was with Sabe. So you really think that he would forget his time with Sabe, including, and then leading up to him going to Exegol?
Who's to say? I don't know. Because those are very separate events. If he was, I haven't finished. I'm not up to date on those comics.
And you made a costume? And you didn't? Oh my goodness.
Yes. I made a costume based on the first set that they released. And then in the second set where Sabe is featured, they changed her color scheme. Her pants were green. Now they're gray. Her vest was cream. Now it's bright, bright white.
She could have a costume change.
Nah, she just used a lot of Tide is what it looks like.
She could go to like her closet and be like, I'm going to wear the same outfit but different colors. It's not unheard of. Did you see all the capes that Lando owned?
I mean, the Handmaidens have a very, very wide array of costumes. I mean, Rabe disguises herself as a droid.
No.
She has a droid costume.
Someone said that that Force ghosts apparently have bad memories.
See? Maybe they do. We don't know much about Force ghosts.
I mean, but still, again, Vader being on his deathbed and Luke actually, like, you know, kind of holding his dead dad, I, as a father, would have been like, you know, just to warn you about the trouble ahead. As a whole planet that has a bunch of star destroyers under the ice, and the Emperor's not dead. He's alive.
Okay, but he's not Hamlet. He's not dying, and then he's going to be like, wait, I need to make a whole nother speech. Now I'm dying. And another thing.
I'm just saying they created another plot hole because of that story. Tell me I'm wrong.
That's true from a certain point of view.
And there it is. It's come back at me. Someone was saying that they would love to see, they are asking if Hu Yang would end up make an appearance in the Dawn of the Jedi movie. Maybe not in Dawn of the Jedi, just because that's like the birth of the Jedi, or I mean of the dark side and light side and everything. Maybe at the end, and maybe the person that is actually, like, you know, becoming a Jedi, he ends up at the end, he makes like the first droid, and the first droid is Hu Yang or something. And then he helps younglings along the way to like make lightsabers and all that stuff. But I'm suspecting that he's going to make a cameo in Acolyte. I would be very surprised if he didn't, just because he's been serving the Jedi Order for, you know, at least over 1,000 years, probably even more than that.
I'm just going to say, I don't know if he will, because his schedule might be booked, because he needs to be in Good Omens season 3, make it happen. That's a different point.
Well, though, Acolyte's already been filmed. So, and all he has to do is show up and do a voice.
True. Well.
Yeah.
But the Dawn of the Jedi has not.
Well, yeah.
So might not make an appearance there.
Well, it could just be like a cameo thing. I'm not expecting him to have that big involvement in that, but to me, it would make sense if he had more involvement in Acolyte in some way, just because it's the prime of the Jedi. That's exactly what the High Republic is. They are, you know, doing what Jedi is supposed to do, and they are keepers of the peace. They're not soldiers. They're not fighting anyone's war. Which
I'm very interested to see them because of that reason. Because we never have, we never really saw Jedis that way.
Yeah. Did you say Jedis? It's not plural.
Look, I'm from West Michigan.
So am I.
Myers, Barnes & Noble, Rolling Stones.
All right.
But, I mean, have you seen Good Omens?
It's on my list.
Okay. I watched the finale of Good Omens season 2, and it's like huge. I'm not spoiling anything, but it's big. And then I went and watched Ahsoka, and hearing David Tennant's voice, it took me so long to focus on anything other than David Tennant's voice, because I'm just sitting there thinking, Crowley?
Well, here's my thing, is that I'm a big Doctor. I mean, I'm not like a diehard fan of Doctor Who, but I am a big fan of David Tennant as Doctor Who. So,
yeah, I have a hard time picking a favorite Doctor, but I think David Tennant takes the cake.
Yeah. Yeah. We just talked about that. Is West Michigan the bacon of, or the, wait, what? Hang on. That's an interesting one. Is Western Michigan the bacon or the mitten? It's a mitten because of when we're like, hey, like I'm from here. Where are you from?
I'm trying to figure out in the camera because it reverses.
I've heard a lot of things, but not bacon.
I don't know what that means.
Huh. All right. Anyways.
I know about pocket bacon. That's a Critical Role joke. I'm just bringing all sorts of fandoms into this podcast today.
Okay. I was like, what is pocket bacon? But yeah. And then you got Andor season 2. Skeleton Crew. Very excited for that. You've got Jude Law as one of the main characters in that as well. We think he's a Jedi. I think we actually know he's a Jedi just because of the trailer that we saw in Star Wars Celebration London. I really hope that they release those trailers soon.
Yeah.
Because I feel bad for the public that has to go online and find like the leaked ones. Because I remember seeing all of them like in person and I was like, this is great. And I was that one nerd in the audience that had a giant notepad. So when the trailers happened, I was like, uh-huh. Yeah. All right. Awesome. So I
taking notes at Star Wars Celebration. I love it.
I was taking it seriously.
I love it so much. I am not judging you. That is amazing.
Yeah. Yep. So I am excited for that. And we're also getting a kid Ortolan, which is the same species as Max Rebo. But what else is great is that he's got four limbs. He's got two legs and two arms.
You're just blowing my mind here.
I'm just letting you know. I'm excited. I'm going to buy all that merchandise.
Well, now we're going to canonically on screen see the correct number of limbs that species has.
Yeah. And then I'm going to call everyone that has been rubbing that in my face.
Well, okay. At the library, we have a comic where he's literally a teardrop with legs.
Oh yeah, no,
there's no,
no
arms. Oh, it's so weird.
I know. And
also,
we just
look. You started it. I'm gonna talk about.
I know
the model used the first time around. The shoulders are very like deep set.
Yeah,
and his elbows are like the wrong way around. They function more like legs. They look more like knees.
You have some examples when grab the one where he's of that one. So if you look at this one, this is what he looks like in the actual movie, right? So tell me, without seeing his legs, do those look like legs to you or arms?
Well, that's a toy, first of all, so it's going to be sculpted to be like an arm.
I know, but if you watch the movie and you look at it, this is what he looks like.
Yes, but the way he like holds his arms, they function, his elbows function a little bit more like knees. I'm not saying his arms can't be knee-like. It's a different, it's an alien species. Who's to say how their bodily autonomy works?
Right.
His elbows function more like knees in the way that they bend and they're positioned. When you see him in Book of Boba Fett, I get really like uncomfy vibes from that one because it looks so different. The nose is so thin, the eyes are completely set differently in the head. He has full like humanoid shoulders.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, bring back my wonky arms. I want the wonky arms. I don't want
they weren't that wonky.
They're kind of wonky. It's unique to him. I'm not saying it's bad. They're wonky.
They're not wonky. Don't.
Wonky isn't bad.
you are using in a context that is upsetting my fandom for Max Rebo, and I don't appreciate your tone.
Okay, his arms are different than standard humanoid arms. Oh!
Just another insult. Fine, it's fine. This is how he looks like.
When you see him in Book of Boba Fett, he is just so different, and upsetting.
So the main thing that's different about Max Rebo in the Book of Boba Fett is definitely his head.
Yes.
That's his main difference.
And the ears coming from the head.
Yeah.
It's just upsetting. I appreciate the bringing back of Max Rebo. I think it was an amazing, like, Easter egg special cut kind of a thing.
I will always remember that day.
I will too. As soon as he came on screen, I screamed, "Curse you, Colin." But I feel like they could have done a better job with the puppet. Yeah. It's just so different. It doesn't even look like Max Rebo.
He survived the explosion. He went through
It's a lot of plastic surgery.
A lot of plastic surgery. And that's totally okay. It happens. But something that I want to point out is that there's the new story that came out. Certain Point of View, Return of the Jedi. And Max Rebo is kind of depicted as a character that only has two limbs and he walks around. And then the music that he plays now is jazz. Now, something that I will say is that it has been said in the past about these books that not everything in the books are canon and are just stories. So with that being said, there's a chance that what we see of what we read in the books and hear in the books does not really count, because everything in live action and the TV shows always trumps that.
Look.
A certain point of view.
The fact that his music is called Jizz is not my favorite Star Wars fact. It is, in fact, my least favorite Star Wars fact.
Did you see me not say it?
However, it is a Star Wars fact.
Yeah.
And it shall not be changed.
Yeah.
One of my actual favorite Star Wars facts, here you go, is the opera that Anakin and Palpatine attend in episode 3.
What's it called?
It's a Mon Calamari ballet.
Yes.
Called Squid Lake.
Is it actually called Squid Lake?
It's called Squid Lake. It's a Mon Calamari ballet called Squid Lake.
Huh.
Instead of Swan Lake. When I read that, because it was in a book I was reading, they were watching a production of Squid Lake, I actually had to set down the book and just take a walk.
Squid Lake. Okay. All right. Huh.
And then there was also that one time I was reading a novelization of The New Hope, and it described Vader as taller than a tall man. And I was like, who wrote this?
I mean, he is tall.
But taller than a tall man?
Yeah.
That's so abstract.
You just look like you saw a ghost.
Also, Tatooine sons?
Yeah.
They're called Tattoo 1 and Tattoo 2.
I don't know about that one.
At least they were in the book that I read.
What book?
It was a novelization of A New Hope.
Was it one of the newer ones or older ones?
It was a very old copy. Okay,
so it's...
Who's to say?
So that's probably Legends then. Because I was like...
It's been weeded from the library that I work at. It's that old.
Oh.
So...
There you go.
I mean... Also, there's apparently dogs on Tatooine. Because it describes dogs barking in the distance.
Listen, in the Ewok movie, there were roosters. There was a llama. There were bunnies hopping around. All that was canon at one point, by the way. And there was also a 6-foot Ewok that had a battle axe. And yeah, it was a whole thing.
You know, if I hadn't seen pictures to prove what you're saying, I would have thought you are just having a drug-induced hallucination right now.
So anyway, Skeleton Crew. I am excited about that show. I think that show is going to be fantastic. And then the other two is Bad Batch Season 3. That will be the final season. It will be the conclusion. We actually, so the trailer, again, all these trailers have not been released yet. And it sucks because I just want to watch them again. The Bad Batch was actually in the Bad Batch, the Emperor actually showed up in that trailer, including Commander Wolf. And it's all probably going to lead into, like, you know, Rebels and, like, you know, of kind of explaining where Captain Rex and Wolf and all these other characters have been all this time. And then the Emperor isn't involved because, you know, the cloning process. So we'll probably get like a sequel tie-in. So, yeah. Bad Batch.
I need you to display that comment.
Which one?
The second one.
This one?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Just because the species has four doesn't mean Max Rebo isn't paraplegic and only has two limbs. Thank you, whoever you are. I love you. You have my forever love.
Oh my goodness. Get out of here. What is this comment? The Max Rebo alien is surely being brought along for the humanoids to eat since they're lost in space, right? No. Get out of here.
No,
what
no,
is that comment?
I am calling that one no.
No.
They're not bringing a baby Max Rebo. It's going to be like baby Yoda is baby Max Rebo.
He's not a baby. He's probably maybe like, you know, maybe 9 or 10.
Baby Max Rebo is not being brought on Skeleton Crew for food. Unless he's a great chef.
Get out of here. I no.
What if he is a great chef, though? Instead of a musician, what if his talents are food?
Okay, I just need to clarify. It's not actually Max Rebo. It's just his species.
No, I know.
But
I'm not talking about Max Rebo. I'm talking about the guy from Skeleton Crew. Baby Max Rebo.
If he ends up being a chef, I could see him wearing a chef hat. And
okay.
He just controls the kitchen. I think it'll be fun.
Not to completely derail this thing, like I haven't done that a million times. It's my purpose on this podcast. What if? Do you play D&D?
I have played a match or two of D&D.
Okay. What if Max Rebo's species functions like a bard? And they have like a very specific talent to inspire people. And Max Rebo is like your stereotypical bard. He's a musician. But you can be a bard with food. My friend plays a toxic frog named Tony, spelled like phonetically. So it starts with a P. Like, it's insane. A toxic frog named Tony. And he is a chef bard. And he cooks food to inspire people.
Wow.
But if you touch him, you will die because he's toxic.
Oh, jeez.
And he's in the kitchen making our food.
My goodness.
Anyway, Max Rebo is a bard and has wonky limbs. Anything else you have to say?
Tales of the Jedi Season 2. I'm excited about that. That's fun because I'm hoping we get stories that we haven't gotten yet. Maybe we get the story of Obi-Wan Kenobi, of young Obi-Wan Kenobi. So that way that we get Liam Neeson to come back as Qui-Gon Jinn. But maybe if we get a Baylan arc of where we learn about Baylan being a Jedi.
And I would love that so much. Yeah,
there's so much that I would love to know more about Baylan because he's such an interesting character. Even though he's barely got any screen time, I'm just like, I want more Baylan.
I honestly think it's just the actor. He's so magnetic.
Ray Stevenson crushed it. And that meme going around of him talking about the about being a Jedi, of where he's just like, I missed the idea of it.
Yeah.
Like of that one. It's just that line is so poetic to me. Mm-hmm. Like it's just like it's done so well. Because it's not really talked about, besides maybe from Anakin and Ahsoka, of why the Jedi Order was so corrupt and why it fell. And that one line just kind of states of like, he misses the idea of it, but he doesn't really miss being a Jedi just because of what they became.
Yeah.
And I love that. And I think it's funny that it's a meme. So seeing Baylan in the Clone Wars, seeing Baylan being a Padawan, and maybe, you know, having Baylan kind of walk around on Peridia and kind of leading up to the moment of where he gets to his destination, even if it's like 15 minutes of him just walking through like the mountains and him just reminiscing about old times, I would be fine with that. Yep. I would be 100% fine with that.
Yep.
Yeah. And just do that in the Clone Wars animation. Do it. It'd be great. But yeah. So, and then we have the game Star Wars Outlaws. And that's got the main character. Her name is Kay Viss. Takes place between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. We may see Kira again. We're definitely going to see Jabba. We're definitely going to see more of the underworld. So it's going to be awesome. I'm excited.
Kira has a book coming out soon, if it's not out already.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. E.K. Johnson, who wrote the Padme trilogy, is writing a Kira book.
Oh, okay. That's actually exciting.
Yeah. I'm intrigued.
All right. Well, that's everything. I think that's it. If you're on YouTube, thank you so much for listening to us. We've got more content coming the way. We're on Instagram at Star Wars Stuff Podcast. We're on Twitter at Stuff Pod. We're on Threads at Star Wars Stuff Podcast. And we're also on Patreon. Patreon at Star Wars Stuff Podcast 2187. We're also on TikTok. Search Star Wars Stuff Podcast. We got a bunch of stuff on there now. We have more stuff on the way, more skits, more clips, more us just being chaotic because that's what we do. And
it's the whole reason they asked me to be on this show.
Yep. And we're also on the Star Wars Stuff Podcast at gmail.com. We're on Facebook, Star Wars Stuff Group and Star Wars Stuff Podcast page. We're on Twitch at Star Wars Stuff Gaming. Please go on Apple Podcast and give us a review. We love hearing your feedback. At Star Wars Stuff Podcast, StarWarsStuffPodcast.com. That's our website. Ray made it. It's fantastic.
Thank you.
And all the links to everything we just talked about are on that website. So go check it out. Yeah. That's everything. Do you have any great words of wisdom to leave the people?
I don't know how to top last week.
Okay, I'll do this one. Be nice. Just be nice. And it's okay that you don't like something. That's okay.
Wow, you took it seriously when I take it chaotic.
That wasn't pointed towards you. I was just saying being nice, but...
Yeah, you say, hey, any last words? And I say, Max Rebo only has two legs. And you say, be nice to each other. It's okay if you don't like something. That is our energies in a nutshell.
All right. With that, see ya. May the force be with you.
Always.